resources and in winning the nationwide Recyclemania tournament, please do your part in recycling all of your bottles and cans.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk in private. Okay, now that we're alone, what's with your friend's driving? Is he always this reckless? You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. Driver, just so you know, we're totally not talking about you. He suspects nothing.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and SpeakUpOrElse.com.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. And now, for the last time, the off-the-wall theme for the second term of the Obama administration.
Thank you.
kind of don't want to let it go, do we? The last time we'll be hearing that theme in its present state.
It's an awesome theme.
Why are we getting feedback? What's going on?
Well, all kinds of weird I'll tell you why.
Yeah, what's
because
happening?
We're the only ones in the building, and I think the spirit of the station is resounding, and what people have done is turn up all the other studios, conference room, and then CR3 or 2 over there. So it's so loud that it's then my headphones had to get turned on a little later. From the reel to reel.
Look how low your level is. There's something else going on here. Extremely loud.
Also, there's no what do you call it? A foam cover on my microphone.
Okay.
Someone took that in the move as well.
I see.
I believe it was critical infrastructure. So I have my ski hat over the microphone. But it may be reflecting in various ways, especially from the conference room. It's really loud.
We're in a soundproof room here, though. It shouldn't be affecting. And it wouldn't affect your levels like this. Something else is at play. It's demons.
Right.
Levels look good, though, otherwise.
I pled my case.
Hopefully it doesn't sound too bad over the air, because...
I can go turn it down in one of these other rooms.
You can do that, but I don't think it's going to make any difference. I really don't, because when you talk, you're as loud as me, but yet I have you practically down to zero.
Okay.
So something is up with your microphone.
I can't hear myself, really, at all.
And you can't hear yourself. That's the funny thing.
Maybe because I'm so low.
So in your world, you're low. In my world, you're high.
Really?
And, I don't understand the strange things we find in the abandoned building that we call home right now.
Yes. It is strange. I don't know what I might be able to do to help. While you're sorting that out...
Yeah.
I was going to ask, how are you surviving... Jupiter.
I don't know what you mean by Jupiter.
Well, that's the storm. That's the name of the...
Oh, for God's sake. Weather Channel, get off it already. Stop naming storms in the winter. You have right to do this.
And why would you use planets?
It's...
But yeah, it's... That's what we're in, is a super... I don't think it's a super storm. It is a severe weather storm.
It's just a storm. Are we going to name every single rainstorm? For God's sake.
And they did it.
Look, hurricanes are one thing, all right? And you don't get to name them either. The National Weather Service does that. So get off your high holy horse and just report the damn weather. Yeah, okay. So that's Intra Jupiter. Wow. Everything's getting commercialized, even storms. Privatized and commercialized and whatnot. It's really pretty silly. As the last few moments of our soon to be retired theme play out, that's just kind of sad to hear it petering like this.
Yeah, I had so much to talk about with you, and I feel like. Well, I'm missing out on at least being able to hear myself. But that's okay. Things are winding down. This is the last week of this wonderful intro. Not outro, intro.
Yes.
And we find ourselves at an exciting, I don't know, a turning point?
Stopping point.
Evolution. Yeah, it's weird being in the original studios here, studio version 1.0 here, but there is so much activity going on behind the scenes, and the fervor when you get into the new space of people working rapidly, completing tasks, taking on new tasks, different projects, different people moving things and making space.
The last moments of the theme. Playing for the last time here on Off the Wall. Where did those people come from? Hang on, will you have people in the theme room? Yeah, look at this. You guys actually came in to hear the theme play the last time. That's, thank you. That was sweet. That was really sweet. That's, wow. And moving, too. And, you know, in the next studio, we don't have a theme room, which, you know, I guess of all the things I've argued for, the theme room is one of the things that I have the weakest argument for. But, you know, I just thought it was a good idea to have a room where you play the theme, and that's where it comes from, and we're in a different room. But, yeah, that's it. That's the second term Obama theme, we call that, because we started it in when his second term began in 2009, and we're ending it now. This is our last show in a free world, in an Obama world. That's how it's going to be. But, you know, what a way to go out. Did you hear the news?
What news? Which one? No. Wait, you caught me off guard. Go ahead. What?
Because I always ask this question.
What?
If you knew the news, you would not say what.
Well, now you got to rub it in.
Yeah, I will rub it in. Well, it just happened. It just happened pretty recently. And if you weren't glued to the TV on a Twitter feed,
SpaceX
or
relaunched.
Had an RSS or anything like that. No, it got nothing to do with space.
The Japanese rocket didn't launch.
What Japanese rocket?
They tried. They had a little cum satellite, a little teeny one that it didn't work out. Didn't reach orbit. Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's a real bummer. But SpaceX is back in action they launched a bunch of Iridium satellites.
Thank you for hijacking the conversation. Now we're talking about...
But
no, go ahead.
What interesting thing...
Carl Sagan, go right ahead. I just had news to report, but apparently the universe is more important.
What news? Which news? What are we...
How about... Remember, okay, well, first of all...
Trying to keep up.
First of all, you see all those curse words on the side of the wall that we post prominently so that everybody knows what not to say on the air.
I will not read them.
Okay. Well, no, have them memorized in your head, because when I hold this up to your eyes, I don't want you to utter any of those words in any tense. Can you agree to that?
But I could say, like, what the F?
Well, you know, even that, yeah, sure, why not? Okay, it's Christmas, who cares?
I won't need to, because I'll probably have something really poignant and, you know.
That's if we get to it by the end of the hour.
I'm ready.
Do you think we might? Okay. Got all the words memorized? What not to say?
Yes.
Here you go. I'm holding it up to you now. What do you think about that?
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Wait,
uh-huh.
I heard... Whoa.
Oh, yeah, that, my friends, is late-breaking news on WUSB. That is the sound.
Holy...
Go ahead.
Whoa,
you can say that.
Is, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Isn't that something?
I was watching a press conference this morning, and there were a lot of questions about this, and... Wow. Is that true or is that fake news?
Oh, is it fake news? Well, it only comes from a certain BBC, which last I checked is not fake news. But
no,
you know, Donald Trump has something else to say about it. Last week, in fact, he did say that, what do you call them? They're another, he implied they were fake news, them and CNN. The BBC, for God's sake. Anyway, I'm getting way off. The news that we're happy to report in this last week of Obama's presidency is that the long prison sentence of Chelsea Manning has been commuted. And Chelsea Manning will be free in May of this year. Can you believe? I did not think there was a chance in hell of this happening.
I'm speechless. Go ahead.
Here's the official news. President Barack Obama has commuted Chelsea Manning's sentence for leaking documents to WikiLeaks in 2010. The 29-year-old transgender U.S. Army private born Bradley Manning will be freed on the 17th of May instead of her scheduled 2045 release.
Wow.
She was sentenced to 35 years in 2013 for her role in leaking diplomatic cables to the anti-secrecy group. And that leak, of course, is one of the largest breaches of classified material in U.S. history. It also, of course... allowed us to see the collateral murder, you know, to find out the kinds of atrocities that our own troops were responsible for, which I think was an incredible public service. As you can see, my phone is ringing off the hook. But you know what? I'm not answering those calls. because we have a radio show to do.
Well, I'm astounded. I think that's so much better than the lengthy amount of time that was given.
I have such mixed feelings here because I'm really, really happy about this, that Chelsea will be out, will be, you know, not in prison. I'm also really, really scared for her. You know, what kind of a country are we releasing her to? What kinds of people are out there? What will Trump say? What is the response? Is he going to have some kind of coded message, you know, that she's fair game for any kind of vigilante or something? There's nothing off the table with him. That's the thing that's so scary. And you're starting to see it more and more in news reports and analyses where people are really kind of frightened to death as to what this guy's going to do. He's basically pissed off everybody, and he doesn't seem to spare anyone as far as his attacks. I mean, it's unprecedented.
They're frightened, or they're, like, in small ways giving permission to accepting him as a legitimate candidate and so on.
Wait, say that again?
I think it's one of two extremes, right? And there's this... they're like slowly creeping this acceptance and language around anybody who's got anything against or in opposition is ridiculous, and sort of diminishing dissent in ways that are profoundly inaccurate when you actually look at the amount of people that are opposed to this stuff.
Yes. Is that a question or a statement? I'm not. Are you saying that Trump is doing this, or press, or?
Yeah, the press.
Okay.
So what your comment, what you were saying about them not? I was just saying that there's either of those two extremes with the press's reaction. There's either people coming in, mm-hmm. like conservative talk show hosts, and really getting their day in the sun, as it were, or others who are not doing that and trying to raise awareness about this in various ways. So,
well,
that's all I was saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of worried faces on TV that I've seen, and I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot more. We watched the press conference last week. What were your thoughts on that, the first one in 6 months?
I think it was just kind of ridiculous between props and all of this stuff. It was just a huge show. And I don't know. This could be – maybe he's, the answer. Maybe Trump is it. He's the best thing since sliced bread.
You got that from the press conference.
So, yeah, I'm being sarcastic, and I hope you pick up on that.
I do, yeah, but, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit as far as, you know, the things that happened, him attacking CNN, him attacking BBC, what it portends for the future, and why we should be concerned about that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I can't take him seriously. I am ashamed of him barking at people and not respecting the institution of journalism and answering to all of his incendiary comments and inflammatory remarks and bluster. I mean, people have legitimate questions, and CNN was wanting clarity on something that was legitimately being reported as to have been discussed in the briefings, the intelligence briefings, and so on, which is a matter of public interest.
Yeah,
so,
definitely. They did what they were supposed to do as journalists. They reported that something was being passed along in an intelligence briefing, And that in the Trump world is the same as reporting what is contained within that as fact, or leaking it as BuzzFeed did. Completely different. If you understand anything about journalism, you know the difference between reporting a story and leaking documents or leaking rumors or innuendo. You expect some kind of an outlet to say these things without fear. And I think what this reaction spells out for the future is that the press will be a lot more cautious. The press that doesn't matter, that is, the press that doesn't have any guts to start with. That's something to keep an eye on. And I think CNN has been good at defending themselves. I mean, we've been pretty much watching how they stand up to his spokespeople, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Trump standing up to him?
No, the press, the people in the media, they
oh, a few,
CNN,
yeah, a little bit,
you know, standing up to
right.
Trump's accusations.
Few and far between, though. I mean, I think there's a lot, as I indicated, I guess confusingly. I guess I was trying to be clear, but yeah, there's a couple people that are really pushing, and you saw how he treats them, but everyone else, there's a lot of creeping acceptance and basically glossing over, I guess is what I'm saying.
You really think it's everyone else, or
I never meant in like literal terms everyone else. No, I'm saying a lot of.
You think it's the majority?
A lot of institutions are scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but does scared translate to just following his rules?
They're not doing enough. Uh
huh.
Look at all of these cable networks. All of them are not doing enough.
Well, True TV certainly isn't. But you mean the cable news networks, I assume.
I mean, whatever. Yeah, sure. Anything TV, local news, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many like fluff stories and just garbage as usual because they have to appeal to the widest audience and so on. But it's nothing in depth. Like,
yeah.
When CNN could be doing investigative reporting, they're not. They're sitting around having commentary with a bunch of people. And I think that's
the same people all the time. My God, I am so sick of them. I am so sick of the Trump apologists. I keep, basically, no matter what he does, it's okay. It's justified. It's allowed, you know? Wow.
So they have their whole ecosystem, and they have to, right, they have to get along, I guess. And so there's this, like, fine line. And I think what you saw with Congress members actually sticking up and speaking out about basically what conditions they have to going along with anything this incoming administration puts forth, I think was, you know, gave a lot of validity to the institutions and people that are digging a little bit. They are writing a bit. They are speaking about it, creating a dialogue, working with the regional and local governments and cities and businesses, because that's, again, a huge thing that Donald-elect is going to leverage, and you've seen a lot of that, like how commercialized he is, how his golden tweets, will affect industry. There was a lot of talk about that today, in light of just the strategy and the tactics. So, private industry has a lot of responsibility in stepping up and resisting and educating, I think, this new administration, just like the press should educate this administration and do a better job.
Do you really see private industry stepping up in that way?
No.
I mean, it'd be nice, but I don't think they will. I think
no.
they're running scared, anyone is running scared.
They're all about it when it's about lobbying and mm-hmm. stuff, but when it's about doing the right thing, I'm not sure they're really stepping up. They're not as committed. Because they want to protect their interests. Their customers might get wind of the sort of publicity implications. There needs to be some daring
from private industry. I know in like obviously Hollywood and a lot of actors have spoken out and so on and in those sorts of industries, but other industries as well, I think, will have to match and navigate the sort of the ways he's trying to wield power, and I think that they too will be educating this administration.
Before too much time passes by, I did promise people I would do this. First of all, thank you everybody who has written in with suggestions for the theme for the first Trump term, if there is more than a first Trump term, or if there's even a full Trump term. A lot of people also asked what happens if Trump gets out of the White House before his term is over, which is entirely possible. And yes, legally we are required to have a new theme if that does happen. So that's just something. It's never occurred before. It's never something we had to face. But people have been asking, and that is how the agreement is, that we will have a new theme if that does happen. So if it lasts 1 week, then the theme that starts next week will only last 1 week, which is a shame because I've heard it and it's really good.
It's kind of logical when you think about it. I think it's good that you just clarified, but that was what I assumed is what we would, how we would handle that situation.
But what I promised people is that we would play the other two themes that we have had over the years. We started in 2003, and of course, then we had George W. Bush as president. Now we should have changed in 2005 in his second term. We did not. We kept the same theme because we only had a partial term beforehand, so we kept the same theme until 2009 when Barack Obama took over, and we had a different theme for his first term. So this is the theme as it began the program Off the Wall. And by the way, you can hear every episode of Off the Wall at www.2600.com/offthewall, and you can start from day number one if you so desire. And you can hear an innocent time when we didn't think of things like Donald Trump in the White House. But here's how the program would have begun from 2003 all the way up until 2009. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall, back in 2003, where George W. Bush has decided not to go to war and basically spend all the money at home instead and build high-speed rail and make us happy. That's the alternative universe.
No, that wasn't how it went.
Oh. Well, you know, I thought maybe playing the old theme would make that happen, but bring back memories. You listened to this show back then.
I did, yeah. Gosh, let's see. I remember going with some friends to the federal building in Chicago and protesting the invasion in Iraq. You were covering a lot of that administration and the interests of the fossil fuel and other military industrial and other complexes.
Yes.
That we were getting a taste of from good old W.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the days.
More innocent times, right?
They were more innocent times, absolutely.
So, yeah, when we knew what we were doing, and, you know...
No, we didn't know. They didn't know what they were doing.
We had fresh excuses.
For God's sake, it was awful.
For our nation building.
Well, yeah, so that's the first theme we had. We'll play it through. Why not? And thanks, everybody, who suggested. We've gotten so many suggestions for potential new things. But, you know, the decisions have been made. Everything has been composed. And we did hear the final theme that will begin next week for the next phase of this nation. And, boy, is it going to be an incredible phase. I don't mean that in a good way. Kyle, here's a story for you that I think you'll appreciate, that you'll like. It's another headline that's meant to evoke shock, but not shock and happiness, shock and dismay and maybe anger. The Trump administration is seriously considering evicting the press from the White House.
I heard a little bit about this.
Yeah, this is really happening.
Do they really want to be there in the first place?
Well, that's...
It's kind of admitting, like, come on, you know, we don't like you, we have nothing to say to you, you don't like covering me, let's just, I mean, we could add a couple couches, we'll make this like the smoking room or something, but y'all just get lost. Give us a call, you can FaceTime, you want to interview, whatever, it's fine.
Well, yeah, you could say that, that you could take that stance. But if you're a reporter, you want to be on the damn scene. You want to have access. You want to be, you know, inches away from where the activity is taking place. And you will see Republicans and Trump apologists say things like, well, this will open it up to more people so that, you know, your Breitbart News and all your conspiracy theorists can also have equal access, but at a further distance in maybe a big gymnasium or something. Who knows? But obviously, it's because some of the media are doing their jobs. And that's one thing this administration is not going to appreciate by any stretch of the imagination. Take a look at this this one quote from a senior official. They are the opposition party. That's how they refer to the media, the opposition party. And you know what? If that's how you view the media, then that's how we view you, the opposition. And I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Well, anyway, according to this story, this came out of Esquire, the upset to the existing order caused by the presidential election has been acutely felt by no one perhaps so much as it has by the national press. At Donald Trump's press conference last Wednesday, reporters found themselves not only subjected to a scolding of fake news, disgraceful words like that, but also awakened to the strong suggestion that, at least in tactical terms, the showdown has been won by the president-elect. I think this goes to what you were saying, Kyle. The media's sense of dislocation may soon become literal. According to three senior officials on the transition team, a plan to evict the press corps from the White House is under serious consideration by the incoming Trump administration. And if that plan goes through, one of the officials said, the media will be removed from the cozy confines of the White House press room, where it has worked for several decades. Members of the press will be relocated to the White House Conference Center near Lafayette Square, or to a space in the old executive office building next door to the White House. Sean Spicer, oh boy, he's a worker art, this guy. There has been no decision, he said, but there has been some discussion about how to do it. he cast the possible relocation of the press corps as a matter in part of logistics. And this is what I was talking about. This is how they're going to try and excuse it. There's been so much interest in covering a President Donald Trump. A question is a room that has 49 seats adequate? When we had that press conference the other day, we had thousands of requests, and we capped it at 400. Is there an opportunity to potentially allow more members of the media to be part of this? That's something we're discussing. So they're going to use that as the rationale behind kicking them all out, because we want to open up to more people. But another senior official, and you can always get these senior officials to say things, suggested a more pointed motivation. According to that official, the potential relocation reflected a view within the transition team that coverage of Trump has been so hostile as to indicate that the press has abandoned its role as neutral observer. They are the opposition party, that official said. I want them out of the building. We are taking back the press room. So to me, that does not say, yeah, we want to open up to more people. To me, it says a free and open press is a threat to us. And yeah, that's something we need to keep in mind.
Indeed, it's control, and then a side effect, if we can make it look bigger, will prevail in our ultimate goal of control and quote-unquote seizing that that access and that institution that is so important to Americans and to what we stand for.
Yes, definitely. And meanwhile, also on the other end of things, a boycott of Trump's inauguration seems to be growing. Rising number of Democratic lawmakers have said they plan to boycott Trump's inauguration on Friday. More than 50 House Democrats are refusing to watch as Trump is sworn in as the 45th U.S. president. Basically, a lot of this has to do with the attack on John Lewis, the congressman, civil rights activist, you know, the guy who got the crap beaten out of him marching for civil rights back in the 60s. You know, the guy who does nothing, according to Trump. Mr. Lewis, a revered member of the 1960s struggle, sparked controversy on Friday when he called Mr. Trump's victory illegitimate because of Russia's alleged interference in the election. I think it's illegitimate for a number of reasons. And whether you go for Trump's own words, whether you go for the absurdity of how he won with the Electoral College, whether you factor in the Russian hacking of the vote, as well, there's all kinds of reasons why this is something that that we should not treat with the same gravity that we would a legitimate president. And, you know, I would even call George W. Bush a legitimate president. I really would. The president-elect hit back on Twitter, attacking the Georgia lawmaker as all talk, no action or results. And that prompted a wave of outrage from people saying if anyone embodied action, it was that 76-year-old. And dozens of members of Congress have announced they will skip the event. I will not celebrate a man who preaches a politics of division and hate, said Representative Keith Ellison of Minnesota. Skip the inauguration. Representative John Lewis is a civil rights hero. Enormous responsibility to be POTUS. I respect the office. Can't tolerate disrespect. It goes on. Goes on like that. And, I think a lot of people will be showing their disgust with what has happened in many different ways, whether it's boycotting, whether it's demonstrating. I don't know. What do you have planned, Kyle?
I think it's all of the above. I think we need to listen to these leaders. They're speaking from experience. So that's mm-hmm. really important, is to listen to one another, to actually discuss how to assemble and what ways we can be active and engaged. And that may mean something for everyone, different for everyone mm-hmm. who is committed. But I think the really important thing is going to be maintaining peace, at least overall. We may have to also be prepared for actual conflict. That seems to be something that this administration and both sides are looking at as highly possible, given the climate, given the divides and lack of pointed dialogue.
The theme for the first incarnation of the show has ended, and that brought us to the next phase, which was the first term of Obama. And back then, starting in 2009 and running until 2013, this is what the theme sounded like. Wow, I remember that theme. That was one of my favorites, actually. And then we had the slow bit afterwards where we'd read news stories and talk about the things that were going on.
And what's on our minds, and also the state of community radio here at 90.1.
And 107.3.
And 107.3, W297 BM.
Very good. Wow, you memorized the call letters.
I did.
Yeah, and you know what? I realize this is the first time that I've done a radio show on a four-digit frequency. It's always been three-digit frequencies.
It really is an honor because, well, who could say that?
Well, I guess people who do radio shows on four-digit frequencies, but I was never one of them. Well, actually, you know, technically, when we simulcast off the hook on the shortwave station, that was four digits.
They take it for granted.
Well, maybe that was five digits.
Wow.
You know what? I take it back. It doesn't really mean that much to me. Wow, we're still getting feedback.
It's the Matrix. Wow.
I think what's happened, and I'm hoping that you sound okay on the air, Kyle, because I can only judge you based on my headphones.
Uh-huh.
And we're plugged into air, so I think that's what's going over the air. But as we move from one studio to another, things get... You know how when you rob a grave, things get taken one by one?
Yeah.
And there's less and less there?
Of course.
And that's where we are right now. In fact, the building's pretty damn cold, if you ask me. It's you really need a coat to be on all the time. But that's neither here nor there. Maybe next week we'll be in the new studios. We'll see. It's possible. This might be our last show from this particular room. I've done so many shows from this room. It's simply mind-boggling. But, Kyle, you have some pertinent things. In the closing minutes of the show, I see we've got a ton of papers there and some things that we should be worried about in addition to the things coming up this week that we should worry about.
Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing that we actually had to. I mean, we had to. We talk about everything and politics came up. We did talk about Standing Rock a couple weeks ago, and really it's something I wanted to be talking about every week. I could tell my life story every week, but this I want to come back to because we have a little bit of time now.
Mm-hmm.
I heard this story, and it reminded me, hey, we got to cover this because of the many, many issues that need attention. This is one of them because it is going to be a lightning rod. It's going to matter, and we have examples of it out here. This is with regard to pipelines. There's even some pipeline projects out here, dare I say, in New York. But this actually is in North Dakota. Well, what happened is they passed some legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And a bill sponsored by State Representative Keith Kempernick.
Keith Kempernick?
Yeah, him.
Wait, he's a Republican, isn't he? I can tell by the name.
He is.
Wow.
He's a Republican representing Bowman. I think Bowman. It would protect drivers from legal consequences if they inadvertently hit, injure, or kill pedestrians who are obstructing traffic.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. You know, Republicans really are shameless, but they actually went and they passed a bill that said it's okay to run people over if they're demonstrating, and this happens to be in North Dakota.
This is not a coincidence. I know you're gobsmacked.
How is this not front page news everywhere that they're doing things like this?
Oh, yeah. That entire state government structure is compromised, I'd say. Compromised by fossil fuel interests, entrenched energy interests, investors, many, many banks, over 30, I think, maybe around that. Okay, so not only did they bring this up, put it forth, but good old Keith says this is a direct response to the massive protests surrounding Standing Rock Indian Reservation. The ongoing protests have shut down a nearby highway for months and stalled construction of a pipeline that would carry crude from the North Dakota patch. And his quote is, "If you stay off the roadway, this would never be an issue," Kempernick said. "Those motorists are going about the lawful legal exercise of their right to drive down the road with tons of heavy equipment and oil gear, personnel, etc. Those people did not ask to be in this." Well, I ad-libbed. Yeah, they did ask. They're asking to build this old bit of infrastructure over a waterway, and
yeah.
the people there don't like it. It goes on.
But hold on, this blows me away here. So the bill, first of all, has it been signed into law?
No.
Is it about to
that's
be?
That's actually the one. It's not yet been scheduled for hearing. Legislation has several House and Senate co-sponsors, but it's not scheduled, et cetera, et cetera. This is one.
So my question though is now. It basically says if you run somebody over, you're not at fault.
That's right. I actually have the bill. I printed it out. It's very short. It's an amendment. And I
wish you had the only copy so we could rip it up right now. But
I would rip it here. I'll start to rip it. No,
there are more though.
So basically, it amends it, and there's five parts to this. This is one of several bills. It says here. His bill is one of several floated by protest-weary North Dakota lawmakers in the session, one making it a crime for adults to wear masks, which is kind of important if you're being tear gassed. Another would allow the state to sue the federal government over the cost of policing the pipeline standoff. The protests, which have drawn thousands of people, have led to a lot of arrests and a lot of costs, $22 million for the law enforcement. But anyway, the five-part amendment, it says basically... one, where a sidewalk is provided and its use is practicable, it is unlawful for any pedestrian to walk along and upon an adjacent roadway. So that's sort of normal.
Is this the best they can do?
Two, where a sidewalk is not available, any pedestrian walking along and upon a highway shall walk only on a shoulder and as far as practicable from the edge of the roadway. And three, where a sidewalk nor shoulder is available, any pedestrian walking along and upon the highway shall walk as near as practicable to the outside edge of the roadway, and if on a two-way roadway, shall not walk on the left side of the roadway. Those are sort of also standard. Here's four, except as otherwise provided for in this chapter, any pedestrian upon a roadway shall yield to the right-of-way vehicles upon the road. Here's the last one.
Okay.
Number five, notwithstanding any other provision of law, a driver of a motor vehicle who unintentionally causes injury or death to an individual obstructing vehicular traffic on a public roadway, street, or highway is not guilty of an offense. So,
wow.
Now, this doesn't necessarily give free rein. The excuse is they want to shift blame for a crash from drivers to the people who choose to protest in traffic. It would not protect someone who deliberately tries to run down a protester, and it would not let drivers off the hook if they hit a jaywalker or child chasing a ball, for example.
You know, the thing is, if you're going to protest something that involves building a controversial project, you're going to want to block a street because that's how they get the things in there. If you're standing in a free speech zone miles away, nobody's going to care, and you're not going to have any effect. So, yeah, that's how protests work. And that's why they're attacking it on this angle. But the thing is, the company didn't get the permit to finish the project, so it should be solved. Except there's wide speculation that once Trump gets into power, all that's going to change, and then we're going to see round two of this.
Yeah, I have a little window of insight into that, and you're absolutely right. There is a document that these companies file with the Security and Exchange Commission, and deep down in this document, you can read about risks, because obviously people invested in projects like this have a certain inherent risk and an obligation to be complete and to meet deadlines and so on and so forth. So actually, there's a section on the protest, and I can read a little bit about where it was left. For the purposes of this, I'll paraphrase. There's a lot of background talking about the sort of origins of it, but where it was left is the SRST, that Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, or the Lakota people, as I think they would prefer, over Sioux, but the SRST filed a lawsuit with the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia against the USACE, that's the Army Corps of Engineers, adjacent to Lake Ohi. I don't know how to pronounce that. The SRST filed a lawsuit with the U.S. District Court against them, challenging the legality of permits issued for the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline across those waterways, and claiming violations of the National Historic Preservation Act, and on and on. They sought a preliminary injunction, and then there was these TROs that were lobbed back and forth. And that's a restraining order, a temporary restraining order. And, in fact, the chief of that tribe was issued one, and then they issued one back.
actually, at the offenders, at I think with the energy transfer company. But long story, really long. I don't think I have enough time to read what I wanted to read here. But it goes on, talks about the some injunctions, where it is in the circuit court, and the last sentences here basically talk about an emergency motion for an injunction during pending an appeal and an amended complaint, and they added claims based on treaties between the tribes and the United States statutes governing the use of government property. The appeal of the U.S. District Court's September 9th denial of their preliminary injunction is still pending.
Well, this is, as I said, something that is going to be entering a new round, I'm sure, in the weeks and months ahead. It's, you know, added to the list of things we're going to have to keep an eye on as Trump takes power. Only 3 days away, we have Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday he at noon, I believe, he takes power. Last press conference from Obama tomorrow. It's any final thoughts on our last show before this happens? I don't want to overdo it, but I really do think we're at a turning point in this country's history.
If I could just quickly to tie it all together, I would say what the last sentence of this document says and what kind of sums up a lot of this is we cannot determine when or how these lawsuits will be resolved or the impact they may have on the Dakota Access Project. There is uncertainty with this company. There is a lot of uncertainty. They're obligated to tell their shareholders that. And I think we're obligated to speak up about the uncertainty that we have in a lot of these other issues and speak loudly about them. So here we are, our last show. Good night, and thanks for listening. I wish we had more time to get into this.
OTW@2600.com is our email address. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. And rain or shine, storm or calm, we will be back next week to report on all the things that that will be happening. And we'd like to hear your views. Again, OTW@2600.com. It's Emmanuel for Kyle. We'll see you next week. Stay strong. Good night.